This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to answer the question, is the rapture fact or fiction? Maybe you have heard in the past various religious preachers, individuals, leaders talk about the coming rapture. That was very popular back in the 1980s with Hal Lindsey, and it continues to be popular today, that Jesus is going to secretly come back for his saints and rapture them up into the air. It will be so quick that people won't know that it happened, and there will be cars crashing everywhere and other kinds of things. When I was younger, I saw the bumper sticker a lot, in case of the rapture, this car will be unaccompanied or without a driver. There were those types of things said. So what about the rapture? Is it biblical or not? Is it fact or is it fiction? And so I'm glad that you have joined us on the program. I appreciate all who tune in and study the Word of God and all who support this program. The rapture doctrine, of course, is very much a part of the religious landscape and belief of many denominational churches. A few years back, we had the Left Behind series of books, and even it was turned into a movie. And people from time to time continue to try to set dates for the rapture. There have been many date setters through the years that have done that. I will not take a lot of time this morning going back through all of those dates that have been predicted and were completely wrong. One more recently, although it is some 10 years old now, back in 2011, a religious leader named Harold Camping, he revised his rapture date. He had actually predicted that as far back as the late 1980s. But Harold Camping revised that and said that May 21st, 2011, would be the date of the rapture. But, of course, after this prediction proved inaccurate, he claimed that there was a non-visible spiritual judgment that had taken place. And the physical rapture would occur on October the 21st, 2011. Well, of course, both of Camping's predictions failed, as they always do, because we're going to remind ourselves at the end of the program that we do not know the time or the date or the hour of the coming of Jesus. But some religious leaders think they do, and they set dates, and they are proven to be false prophets. And so we want to look at the matter of the rapture. If you'll turn with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're going to begin our study. And I want this morning on the program to look at five problems with the rapture, and then we'll close with the Bible truth about the second coming of Jesus. So the idea is, according to the man-made doctrine of the rapture meaning to be caught up into the air, that Jesus is going to come again and secretly rapture his saints, faithful Christians, and take them up into heaven for a period of 7 years. And during that 7 years on the earth, there's going to be great tribulation. And so the people who advocate this, they go through the New Testament and they look at the word tribulation, different places in Paul's epistles and in the book of Revelation, and they see tribulation, and they say that it's going to be for 7 years, and things on the earth are going to get terrible. The wicked are going to thrive immensely, and God wants to rapture his saints up into heaven for 7 years while this terrible period of tribulation is going on the earth, so that they will not be affected by that. So the idea of being raptured or caught up into the air. Now, that entire theology and doctrine, and it's very intricate and detailed and immense, it's taken from one Bible verse. And that one Bible verse is twisted and distorted to support this man-made theory of the rapture. So the first thing that I would say about the rapture is, as far as the errors are concerned, is, first of all, the rapture doctrine takes 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 16 and 17 out of its context. And the rapture doctrine supposedly teaches that the righteous Christians will be caught up into the air and away from the earth, and the wicked will be left behind on the earth. And so that's why we had a few years back that series of Left Behind books and a movie that was based on that. However, Paul is not writing about Christians being caught up in the air and the wicked people being left on the earth. Paul is writing about how the righteous dead and the righteous living will be caught up together in the air. That's what Jesus is going to do when he comes again. And Paul is addressing Christians at Thessalonica who were concerned about Christians who had already died. Now, Paul uses the euphemism fall asleep, talking about death. And they are concerned that if my Christian family and friends have died, when Jesus comes again, are they going to be left out in that event? They're dead, their body is in the grave, and I'm still living. And when Jesus returns for a second time, I can go be with him. But what about the dead Christians? What is going to happen with them? That's what Paul is dealing with. So let's read verses 13 through 17 in that light. But we would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, Christians who fall asleep, Christians who have died, that you sorrow not, even as the rest, non-Christians, who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Jesus, those who have died who are faithful Christians, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, we faithful Christians that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede. The old King James says prevent. The modern idea of prevent means to hold back or to keep something from happening. But in 1611, prevent meant to go before someone. So some of the other versions have precede or go before. So if you use the King James, be mindful of that. So we that are alive, that are left unto the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede or go before them that are fallen asleep. We're not going to be taken up into heaven before the dead Christians are resurrected and taken into heaven. There won't be two separate events. They're not going to be left behind. And some of the brethren at Thessalonica were sorrowing over that. They were ignorant of what was actually going to happen. And so Paul is trying to correct that ignorance so that they would not be sorrowful over something that wasn't even going to happen. The dead Christians are going to be raised, and the living Christians, they're all going to be joined together with the Lord. So that is the setting here when we come to verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Paul is talking about what is going to happen with the righteous dead and the righteous living. He's not discussing a separation of the righteous for 7 years up in heaven while the wicked are still on the earth during this period of tribulation. He's not discussing that. That is a man-made doctrine that is not even discussed here or anywhere else in Scripture. Elsewhere, Paul addresses the state of the wicked. In fact, he will do some of that here in chapter 5. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, if you'll turn with me there, In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, what will happen when the Lord comes again to the wicked? He's not going to allow them to stay on the earth for 7 more years during a period of tribulation. What's going to happen to the wicked when the Lord comes again? 2 Thessalonians 1, 7, to you Christians that are afflicted, rest with us at the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven with the angels of his power in flaming fire, rendering vengeance to them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of his might. That's what's going to happen to the wicked. They're going to be punished with eternal destruction. And we know that, of course, to be hellfire from other passages of Scripture. They will not be allowed to live on the earth for 7 more years. So, Paul is not writing about a so-called rapture of the righteous up into heaven away from the wicked on the earth. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about both the righteous dead and the righteous living. After they've been raised, the righteous dead, they will be caught up together in the air. Verse 17, then we that are alive, that are left, shall be together with them, be caught up in the clouds. And that's where you get the idea of the rapture. The English word rapture, to be caught up, comes from the Latin word. And that Latin word, rapturo, the verb to rapture, is found in the Jerome's 3rd century Latin Vulgate. And so in this verse, in the Latin Vulgate Bible, there was the word rapiermur, cum illis, to be caught up together. And that's where we get this English word rapture. The doctrine of being caught up is certainly taught in verse 17, but it's not the catching up of the righteous into heaven while the wicked are on the earth. And so this is an open display. It's something that will happen openly. It will be when, verse 16, a shout with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. It will not be secret. They say, well, the rapture is going to be secret. No, it will be audible. Everybody will know when Jesus comes again. So the first problem with the rapture is it takes 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 out of context. The second error or problem with the rapture is that it demands too many comings of Jesus. The rapture doctrine teaches that Jesus will come secretly in the so-called rapture for his saints, and then he will come again later with his saints at the end of the 7-year period of tribulation. This makes for a second coming and a third coming. The truth of the matter is, friends, that Jesus will come only a second time. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 28. Let's just remind ourselves of that. The rapture, the man-made doctrine of the rapture, has Jesus coming too many times. There will be a second coming, but there will not be a third coming or even more than that, according to some premillennial doctrines. So Christ also, having been once offered to bear the sins of the many, shall appear a second time, apart from sin, to them that wait for him unto salvation. Not a second time and a third time and a fourth time and so forth, but a second time. And this coming will be audible and visible. We'll talk about that some more at the end of the lesson. Back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What's interesting about this is that the purveyors of this doctrine say that it's going to be this secret coming of Jesus and nobody's going to know. All of a sudden, you're just going to look around and see cars with no drivers in them and so forth. And people at work are going to be gone, and people at school are going to be gone, and neighbors are going to be gone, and a person's going to be sitting in their house, and their spouse is going to be gone, and so forth. Look at the very next section that Paul talks about, but concerning 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1, concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that ought be written unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord is not anything different than what he's been talking about. When he talks about the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, that's the day of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, 4:16, that's the day of the Lord, chapter 5, verse 2. And the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night, when they are saying peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall in no wise escape. It's going to be unannounced as a thief in the night. And so we have all these false prophets like Harold Camping and many others, Hal Lindsey and many others, who for decades have set dates upon dates upon dates saying this is when the rapture is going to be. And Paul said, when Jesus comes, it is going to be like a thief in the night. We've got to follow Paul, the Apostle Paul, and not man-made false teachers. The third thing that is wrong with the rapture is that the rapture doctrine allows for too many resurrections, just like it allows for too many comings of Jesus. The rapture doctrine allows for a resurrection at the beginning of the rapture, or the beginning of the seven-year so-called tribulation. And then there's also another resurrection at the end of the seven-year tribulation, according to that man-made doctrine, and at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth. There are at least three resurrections in that particular theology. The Bible teaches that there is only one resurrection day for both the righteous and the wicked. And so we've got to get back to Bible teaching. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul talks about the dead in Christ shall rise first. When the dead in Christ rise, well, what about the wicked? Well, Paul does not deal with that there in 1 Thessalonians 4 because that is not under the purview of his question or his address. He's talking to brethren about dead Christians and living Christians. It's not under his discussion there to talk about the wicked. Well, what about them? Well, other places in Scripture tell us what is going to happen. And so when the dead in Christ rise, that is going to be the general resurrection day of all mankind. The wicked will rise too. Jesus, for example, in James chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, says, "Marvel not at this, for the hour comes in which all that are in the tombs," not just the righteous, "all that are in the tombs shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life," Paul talks about them in 1 Thessalonians 4 and other places, but look at it, "and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment." That's the resurrection of the wicked. When does it happen? On the same day when all that are in the tombs hear his voice and come forth. One resurrection. There's a resurrection of the just and the unjust. Paul preaches in Acts 24 and verse 15. One, not two or three, or more. A fourth error of the rapture is that the rapture doctrine has Jesus coming for the wrong reason. They have him coming to rapture the saints away up into heaven during a period of 7 years of tribulation. And even among those who teach that, there is differences among when Jesus is going to return. But the rapture doctrine has Jesus coming for his saints to protect them from the seven-year period of tribulation, and then this is where they bring in the Antichrist. And then at some point, they're divided on this. Some say a mid-tribulation, 3.5 years into it. Some say post-tribulation at the end of 7 years. He will come with his saints in the battle of Armageddon. Well, there's several problems with this, and we could spend an entire time talking about this. We won't. But just simply to say, first of all, tribulation in Matthew chapter 24, and they turn here, that is tribulation leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. When you read about tribulation in the books of Paul's epistles, or even in the book of Revelation, you're reading about tribulation of first century Christians who are being persecuted, and those who were being persecuted leading up to the destruction of Jerusalem in Matthew 24. And so it's not a seven-year period of tribulation at the end of time. Number two, the Antichrist refers to any unbeliever, and he is mentioned, and they, it's plural, Antichrists, plural, they lived in John's day. They're mentioned in 1 John 2:18, 1 John 2:22, 1 John 4:3, 2 John 7. The Antichrist is any unbeliever starting in the days of John and following who were against Christ. It is not just one person at the end of time. And number three, Armageddon is symbolic of God's judgment on Rome, Revelation 16, verse 16. It's not World War III at the end of time with a nuclear holocaust and all that kind of thing. So tribulation, Antichrist, Armageddon, those types of things have been twisted and distorted to teach this so-called rapture theory. We have to simply keep all of those things in their biblical context. And then number five, the rapture doctrine allows for the gospel to be preached on earth during this seven-year period of time and lost souls be saved during this seven-year period of tribulation. And of course, the Bible teaches that all sinners can hear the gospel and be saved. That's not the problem. But the problem is the rapture doctrine allows for a second chance opportunity to obey the gospel after Jesus comes, and the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that we all have one opportunity now to obey the gospel before Jesus comes. Remember, we read earlier 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9. When Jesus comes again, he's going to render vengeance on them who obey not the gospel. When he comes again, he's not going to give them a second chance during a seven-year period to obey the gospel. He's going to render vengeance because they have already not obeyed the gospel when he comes. The point being that we need to obey it now, because when he comes, there will not be another seven-year period in which people have an opportunity to obey the gospel. And so we simply need to keep all of these things in their biblical context. The rapture, is it fact or fiction? Well, biblically, it is fiction. It is a figment of man's theological imagination. And we simply need to get back to looking and believing in what Jesus and the Apostle Paul and others taught about the second coming. And with regard to that, I want to close the program this morning in the last few minutes talking about the truth of the second coming. I want to lay down some truths of the second coming. Number one, it will be unannounced. It will not be something where Jesus announces in advance that he's coming. He will come as a thief in the night. We already read that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, chapter 5, verse 2 and following, we find the same thing in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 13. A thief does not announce when he's going to break in, and Jesus is not going to announce when he's coming again. The second truth that we need to understand with regard to the second coming of Christ is that when Jesus comes again, it will be visible, audible, and glorious. He will come in his glory, Matthew 25, 31. All that are in the tombs will hear his voice. We already read that. The angels in Acts 1, 9 through 11 said that Jesus will come again in the clouds, just as you saw him going up into the clouds, visible. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, there will be a shout. There will be the trump of God. He will come with his angels in flaming fire, 2 Thessalonians 1:7. Things that can be seen and things that can be heard. There will be no secret rapture. There will be no secret coming. Different denominations have said through the years that Jesus came secretly. That is just simply not true. When he comes a second time, and it will be a second time only, not a third time or a fourth time, Hebrews 9:28, a second time, everyone will know it. And we all have to be right with God before that day comes and on that day, because there will be no opportunity to get right after that. Number three, when Jesus comes again, it will be for all the people. All the people, not just his righteous saints. All that are in the tombs will hear his voice and will be raised. James 5:28 and 29. All will stand before him in the judgment day. All nations will be gathered before him. Matthew 25:31. He is the judge of the living and the dead. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Everyone, saint or sinner, all will stand before. And that's something that we need to remember and think about. Number four, we need to remember that when Jesus comes again, it will be in the last day, singular, not last days that will include another 7 years and then another 1,000 years reigning on the earth. Not the last days, plural, but the last day. John 6:39. Verse 44, John 11:24, John 12:48, the last day. And we need to prepare ourselves and get ready for that. And number five, it will be final. It will be final. This is not something where there will be more time, another 7 years, and then another 1,000 years of Christ on the earth. It will be the final judgment day, and heaven and hell will be eternal in nature, everlasting destruction and everlasting life. Matthew 25, verse 46. When Jesus comes again, he will deliver up the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15:23 and 24. And Paul says, then cometh the end. When Jesus comes, that's the end, friends. That's the end of it. That's the end of it. Not the beginning of 7 years and then another 1,000 years on the earth. These are just simply man-made doctrines that are not true, and they often give people comfort in thinking that they might have a second chance when they will not. In 2 Peter 3:10, when the day of the Lord comes, the earth and the works therein will be burned up. That'll be it. That'll be the end. So friend, are you ready for his second coming? If the answer is no, let us help you to prepare your lives so that you can obey the gospel, have your sins washed away in baptism, to learn how to live faithfully each and every day and be ready for Jesus. Let us help you to be ready when Jesus comes again. The rapture is fiction. The Bible truth is fact. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.